Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to see so many. I would say welcome to all the visitors and guests, but really we are all family, so it's nice to have you staying and spending time with all of us over here. Am I being received okay, Phil? Is this working? Sometimes I fade out, it sounds like. I'm still on the Abraham kick, folks, so if you're getting tired of it, I'm sorry. But today I had a different approach, I think. We'll see. I'm going to talk about Abraham and impatience. It was quite a study, and it revealed a lot of things I'd never thought about quite in the same way. It really all takes place in Genesis 16, so we'll be spending some time there. The purpose of this message today, brethren, is to show you and to help you understand that impatience is selfishness. Selfishness that takes our eyes off from God. Impatience is selfishness that takes our eyes off from God. Abraham and Sarah had reached, in their minds, a critical point in their life. The time clock was ticking for Sarah, and she knew now it was at a time in her life when physically it was doubtful she could have children. Her eyes were looking to the physical. Abraham believed God. He believed what God told him. If you turn to me and backtrack just one chapter to Genesis 15, I wasn't going to go here, but might as well read it. In Genesis 15, in verse 6, Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. God had told him he would have the land, and his children would inherit it. Abraham did believe him. But herein comes the problem with impatience. Impatience can destroy that belief. Impatience can damage your faith in the Almighty. This first passage in Genesis 16 covers the birth of the Arab people through Ishmael. It discusses their future. But more importantly, there's a lot you can learn here, brethren, about patience, about human nature, about us and the way we think. And to sum it all up, what is impatience? It's an emotion that gets tired of waiting. It's an emotion that gets fed up with something that delays us. It's an emotion that arouses us to act or react before we should. To sum it up, it's selfishness. Fortunately, I don't have that problem if I'm not in a car. No. But when I get behind a car, I seem to change. I don't remember being this way when I was younger. It seems to be a more recent occurrence in life. But my impatience levels, it's extremely low when I'm driving an automobile. In other words, another way of saying it, which is embarrassing to say out loud, but here I am with family, I get very selfish when I'm driving an automobile, apparently. I didn't think I did, but reading God's Word seems to indicate something different. So I'm now working on this with a renewed zeal in trying to be patient, in trying to be humble. I mean, just because I have to sit through two green lights, this guy in front of me won't make a left-hand turn, is another issue. But I have to be patient. I have to humble myself. I have to not be so selfish. So that helps me when I think about it like that. It took me a while to realize that I was selfish. That is the first issue. Waiting and delay, when talking about impatience, are key words. We just plain old get tired of waiting. it gets old. And the more impatient we are, the faster it gets old. Why? Because as people, brethren, we want to be busy. We want to be accomplishing things. We want to be doing things. We want to be busy. And when things get in our way, it irritates us. And this is what was happening to Abraham and Sarah. They became impatient for their child. And when they became impatient, they started looking around them. They took their eyes off God. Even though Abraham had faith, and it clearly says it in the Bible, he was distracted. And he was taken aside. Their impatience was so gripping that they just felt they could wait no longer. They began to rationalize, to question what they'd been told, to think through what the possibilities were, and reconsider and rethink the promises God had made. And here's some things that they could have been thinking. The Bible doesn't say, but knowing how impatience works and knowing how I think, they might possibly have been thinking, could God be waiting for us to do something before He acts? Is there something we've missed here and I'm not doing my job? Maybe God is waiting for me to do something. Another thought, doesn't God help those who help themselves? See how human reasoning can really start to cause a problem in your head? If we do this, then maybe God will do this. If I work more diligently at this, then maybe God will help us here. Doesn't God, after all, expect us to do our part? And then He does His part. You can rationalize your action, brethren. You can even justify your action in your own mind. But when you take your mind off from God and look to the physical, you're no longer basing your decisions on this. You're now basing your decisions on what you see and what is before you. And then when things don't go right, you turn to justification. But I didn't know that was going to happen, or I certainly wouldn't have done it. There's all kinds of ways we work ourselves around and work ourselves through to make ourselves look right. Rationalizing and looking to the physical are key elements that almost always take place when you become impatient. And that then leads us to act when we shouldn't necessarily be acting. So let's discuss for a minute here causes of impatience. And remember, brethren, the whole purpose in this is patience is selfishness that takes our eyes off from God. So what are the causes of impatience? Number one, I only have, I think, three. Unfulfilled desire is a big cause of impatience. Sarah wanted a child. Abraham wanted an heir to inherit the land he had. Sarah was now 75 years old. Like I said, the biological clock was not only clicking, it seemed to be going into high gear. And she had never had a child. And in her society, that was very, very, not only embarrassing, but humiliating, belittling, and hurtful to a woman's self-view. Now, all of that was created by the society she came from, but nonetheless, it was issues that she had to deal with, nonetheless, even if some of those views of her society were not based on godly principles. You know, brethren, it's difficult to extract ourselves from this world, to take ourselves from the way we naturally think, because we've been programmed by a society. We've been brought up in a society that believes strongly in things that aren't necessarily godly, and in cases most definitely are not godly. That affects each of us in our Christian walk. Like it or not, it does. You have to accept that. Doesn't mean you have to accept the results of that thinking, but you have to admit where you are so that you can change. Sarah was now becoming desperate. Her physical reality could not be ignored. Abraham was becoming anxious, and he was living with a wife that was desperate, and it weighed on him, and it affected him. So unfulfilled desire. What does that help us to do? Unfulfilled desire causes impatience, and therefore it can cause us to act before we should. It can cause us to ignore God's will and God's timing. So the justification process I just explained. Doubting ourselves. Doubting God's word. Coming up with possible reasons why God isn't doing what we think God should be doing. We are second-guessing God. We are assuming we know what God wants to do. That's wrong. It creates doubt. It destroys faith. And it's presumptuous of us, brethren, to even think that we can understand the mind of God and His workings with each of us. It's really quite bold to think that we know what God wants to do with us, and we know what's best for us. God was very plain with Abraham and what he was going to do. He took him out into the night and said, "See the stars. Can you count them? If you can count these stars, you'll know how many children you will have. Through the lineage, grandchildren, great-grandchildren." God did everything necessary to give Abraham a reason to believe. And the Bible distinctly says Abraham believed. He believed God. He believed the promise. He didn't doubt. But then impatience enters the picture. And doubt crept in. Second guessing crept in. Trying to figure it out became part of their thinking through the day. And what should he have been doing? And what should Sarah have been doing? Believing. Believe. Let it be. Wait. That awful, awful, ugly word. Wait. Sometimes, brethren, there's nothing for us to do. Wait. Obey, of course. Continue to serve, of course. But let the issue lay. God partially has taught that to me when I was out of work that ugly year. And it was amazing to me how long God waited. It was amazing to God how impatient I became. But that's me. But when things had to happen, they happened instantly, fast. I would have had a job in one day, except there was a weekend and a Sabbath involved. And God's hand was so evident when He rescued me. It always is, brethren, When God acts, He acts decisively. He acts perfectly. He acts with deep love and compassion. And He makes His will obvious to all that are watching. God will never let you down. Ever. Never. He doesn't think that way. He doesn't live like that. He doesn't talk like that. But impatience can destroy your faith. Impatience can cause us to try to fill the desire ourselves instead of waiting for God. And we can't do that, brethren. We have to, when we start having issues with something we need, want, or think we need and want, we need to go to God's Word. And we need to see what God says. And if God says it's okay, then maybe we will have it someday. It's not for us to say when. We can't be presumptuous. It doesn't work. So number one, causes of impatience and unfulfilled desire, which causes us to act before we might, to ignore God's will, and to take matters into our own hands. Point two, the causes of impatience. A mistaken thought, a wrong thought, that God did not convey to us, that God does not want us to think. But because we start this whole escapade of rethinking everything, trying to figure out what God's doing, trying to figure out why God hasn't done anything, trying to figure out if we did something wrong, which it's not wrong to do that if you do it with God's Word in your lap, not just toying with it and thinking about it while you lay in bed at night. That's when you run into the ditch. So Sarah couldn't have children. She was barren. Did God close her womb? Did God close it permanently? Forever? Sarah thought so. Was that based on Scripture? It wasn't. Notice verse 2 of chapter 16. So Sarah said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children." She makes it sound like she didn't think she was ever going to have a child. "The Lord has restrained me from bearing children." She places no constraint on the time element involved. She had given up. She had a plan. Something that happens when you become impatient. Something that happens when you can't sit still and wait. You figure it out. She started reasoning. God never said, "I would be the mother." He just said it would be your child. In the Scripture, that is what the Scripture says. It said it from Abraham's loins. It doesn't say from Sarah's womb. She's been thinking. She wasn't patient. And she talked to Abraham. And in their society, her solution was very acceptable. They didn't look at it as sin. They didn't look at it as wrong. It was a solution to a problem that the society created in their own mind. That women had to bear children. It was their duty. It was their sole purpose in life. And when you didn't do that, you were a failure. You were worthless. You were less than nothing. That is not found in the Bible, brethren. But it was part of their society. And it does say that Hagar became Abraham's wife. In verse 3, Then Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abraham, to be his wife. They had dwelt now in Canaan for 10 years. So they'd been in the promised land for 10 years. She was still barren. There were still no children. And God wasn't doing his job. So it was time to take action. It was time to solve the problem. Was it? What does the Bible say we should do when we're not sure of our actions? When we're not understanding what God wants us to do? Turn with me to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Verse 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me. When we're not sure what to do, we go to God's Word. We do not rethink what God has said. We do not question what God has said. We do not second guess God. We go to God's Word and we see what God says. When you begin to doubt what God's doing with you, turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. That has to do with impatience. Be content. That has to do with patience. With such things as you have. For he himself has said, listen to these beautiful words, brethren. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So if he hasn't left us, and he hasn't forsaken us, but he hasn't done what we wanted, what's happening? Our wants may not be right. Or the time may not be right. It's that simple. You don't need to lay in bed at night rethinking, maybe I misunderstood God. Maybe he said it was okay to work into the Sabbath just an hour until it's completely dark. That way I won't get fired. And God doesn't want me to lose my job. Right? It's so easy, brethren, to justify. It's so easy to rethink when you're working on impatience. We can't be like that. Psalm 40, 17. This is how we feel quite often. Poor and needy. We need God's help. Why isn't he helping me? Where is he? Psalm 40, verse 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. Notice, he realizes his condition, but he looks at God's word and says, but the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. And then notice what he says. Do not delay. A little bit of human nature comes in there, doesn't it? Oh my God. God may be delaying in the sense that he's not working on what we want. In God's sense, he's right on time. In what God is doing in your life, God is never late, God is never tardy, God is never early. He's always right on time. So if we think he's late, our time clock is off. If we think he's not doing what we think he should be doing, our thinking is off, not God's. Don't ever forget that, brethren. Impatience is selfishness that takes our eyes off from God. Don't forget that either. So, Sarah has this grand plan. Abraham, because of his human nature, thinks, it's not such a bad idea. There's some possibilities here. So they sin. They don't wait. Their impatience takes over. They yield. Ishmael is born. And now, another issue develops. So now let's talk about the consequences of impatience. Part two. The consequences of impatience. We see where Sarah's thinking was faulty. She thought God wouldn't use her. She thought God couldn't use her. She was too old. It's now impossible. They had never witnessed a 75-year-old woman pregnant. Therefore, it's impossible because I haven't seen it happen. They forgot they were working with the eternal God, the Almighty God, with whom nothing is impossible. And they would have to wait another 12 years, I think, is about the time frame before she did conceive. I think that Ishmael was 12. We'll find out it's in here. I probably will forget to read it. But nonetheless, now Abram had a son, and he loved him. Hagar was his wife. Things were rosy, kind of. The terrible consequences of impatience. Number one, impatience results in wrong plans and wrong methods. Sarah had a good motive. She wanted to fulfill God's purpose. She wanted to help God with what God was trying to do. Her motive was not incorrect in the sense she was trying to do what God wanted done. She wanted God's will done. She wanted God's mission of salvation for the earth to be fulfilled, even though she wasn't real sure on all that that involved. So where did they go so terribly wrong? Sarah wanted to be a part of God's plan, but she questioned God's promises. The delay, the waiting, became unbearable. Brethren, when that happens to us, we have to be strong. We have to trust in God. We have to keep our nose in God's word. We cannot start justifying what we think should happen. Point two, impatience leads to the collapse of faith and patience. Abraham had now been obeying God for over 10 years in Canaan. He had started way back in Ur, stayed in Haran 10 to 15 years, and was trying to obey God then. And he had faith then. Not as much as he had 10 years later, but he was learning. But now Abraham was facing the test of his life. Because the test, the problem, the challenge came from someone he trusted and loved deeply, his wife. She had this plan. The test struck at the very heart and purpose of Abraham being on earth. He was to be a key element in God's plan. And Sarah was running out of time. And Abraham wasn't young either. And the test appealed to the eyes and the flesh. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. And he reacted. It doesn't say when Sarah talked to him about this and kept on talking to him about this idea, that he took it to God. It doesn't say he talked to God about it. It doesn't say he sought God's decision. They were already too far down the road of impatience. They had to fix the problem, because obviously God wasn't going to. Impatience, brethren, is selfishness that takes our eyes off God. And Sarah's impatience won, and Abraham gave in. The point is, impatience results in terrible, terrible consequences. Collapsed faith. Doubt. Impatience causes you to take matters into your own hands. It causes you to give in to the desires that you have. And they may be good desires. But timing is critical. And we end up saying and doing things that are completely contrary to God's will and God's timing. And when we go down that road, we are stepping outside the will of God. We are now not following God. We're now making our own plan work. And brethren, that doesn't work. Point three, under whatever I'm at here, I'm on plan two, the terrible consequences of impatience. Point three is impatience leads to sinful behavior. It may just be the destruction of faith. It may not be a sexual situation like Abraham was in. It could just be we did something that hurt ourselves deeply financially that God didn't want for us. Nonetheless, impatience destroys faith, damages our relationship with God, and hurts us spiritually. And just as a side note, I found a scripture in Proverbs 30 that I'd like to turn to. It's so completely perfect as to what they had to deal with because of their impatience. Proverbs 30, verses 21 through 23. For there are three things the earth is perturbed. Yes, for four it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigns, a fool when he is filled with food, a hateful woman when she is married, and a maidservant who succeeds her mistress. Two of those four apply dramatically to what they went through, brought on by themselves. And yet, if it wouldn't have been for impatience, God could have told them their way was wrong. They may not have had the Bible at this point, but they did have God, and Abraham and God were working together. God would have taught them. God may have told them, and he may have forgotten. The Bible doesn't say. But God did know the results. It's very plain their decision was wrong. It's very plain that yielding to impatience did not help them and did not work. Would they have done it if they had known what they learned later? Obviously not. Think about that, brethren. Impatience distorts our thinking to the point where we don't see the situation clearly. I don't know if I want to say it like that. They stopped following what God wanted. They stopped believing what God wanted because it didn't make sense when you looked at the physical life, the physical surroundings that they were in. They turned to the physical, looked to the physical, and forgot the spiritual. And that's what happens to us, brethren, when we become impatient. We take our mind off God because there's something we want. There's something we think we need. We may even be trying to do something for a fellow Christian, and we can't get it done because events aren't cooperating. So we get frustrated. We get anxious. And then we make a mistake. Because our will, through impatience, has now become more important than God's will through faith. It's very important to understand how that works. God's will requires faith. Impatience doesn't. Impatience destroys faith. And we have to, brethren, we have to submit to God always, even when it doesn't make sense, even when we don't understand, even when God hasn't sat down next to us and said, I know you're worried. I know you only have 89 cents in the bank, and I know your car payment's due tomorrow. Don't worry, I'm going to take care of it. And what are we looking at? The bank account, not God. What are we thinking about? I want to pay my bill on time. God will help us. God always helps us. But tomorrow comes and the money's not there and the car bill goes delinquent. What is God doing? Apparently nothing. It's what it looks like. But you don't know that. Brethren, we can't look to the physical. We can't turn to the physical. When things get tough, when things start falling apart, that requires us to be closer to God, not drifting from God. It requires us to study more, not less. It requires more faith, not action. It requires belief, not us doing something. Psalm 27:14. I got my notes here to smile. I'm going to try to work on that. I was watching speaking now and then. I watch other speakers intently. And Steve Myers is amazing. I think he smiles when he's sleeping. He smiles all the time. I should check and open my eyes sometime when he's praying and see if he's smiling when he's praying. I haven't done that yet. But we have confirmation here. Somebody didn't have their eyes shut. Okay. So... He smiles all the time. I mean, it's beautiful. I love it. It's really cool. I'd like to be like that, but when I'm thinking and I'm serious, I can't smile. It just doesn't work that way. I don't know why. It works for him. But he's much better at this than I am. Where was I? Psalm 27:14. Wait. There's that awful, awful word. Wait on the Lord. And then what does it say? Be of good courage. And then what does it say? And He, God Almighty, will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That, brethren, is an extremely difficult verse. I have failed miserably on that verse. And that's just when I'm driving a car, waiting until we get into serious stuff. I really struggle. But God loves us, brethren. Psalm 62, verse 5. Wait. And what do we say? Wait a minute. It's so much easier to say it like that. Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait silently for God alone. For my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. See, when you become impatient, your rock and your salvation becomes your own thinking, your own ability to do something, because you're going to get the problem solved. You're going to fix it, and you're going to do it now, because that's the way we are. So God has ceased to be your rock. God is not your salvation now. You're saving yourself. How does it work? He is my defense, continuing on. I shall not be moved. I'm not going to allow myself to deceive myself through impatience. I'm not going to allow myself to get caught up in the physical. In God, verse 7, is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Brethren, you don't think like that when you're impatient. I know. I've been down that road too much. Impatience is a killer. Impatience is selfishness that takes our eyes off from God. So what in the world is the solution to impatience? I'm glad you asked. Number one, accept God's will. Humble yourself, in other words. To accept God's will, you have to humble yourself. Because as we've all discovered in our walk with God, sadly, too many times in our life, our will is not the same as God's will. And when we become impatient, our conclusion is, God's will is wrong, my will is right. We don't say it like that. We don't even think it like that. But our actions prove that is what we're thinking. Because we intentionally would not do something that's stupid. We've convinced ourselves that it's smart, when in fact, we've strayed. We have deceived ourselves. Accept God's will and humble yourself. Genesis 49:18 addresses that in a minor way. Genesis 49. Genesis 49:18. I have waited for your salvation. There's a man that did it right. Wait. There's times, brethren, when there just simply isn't anything for us to do. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Isaiah 66. That's way at the other end of the book. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Here's a thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite heart, and who trembles at my word. Brethren, we are not trembling at God's word when we are impatient. It's just that plain and it's just that simple. Matthew 18, verse 4. Christ's words, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom. It doesn't say you'll be able to keep your home. It doesn't say you won't lose your car. But it does give you an incredible, incredible future. Here's something for you to think about. God always knows where we are when we have been mistreated, when we are hurting. God knows what we're going through. He wants to be by our side. He wants to pick us up and hold us. He wants to comfort us. The question is, will we let him? Or will we, through impatience, hop off his lap and rush off to fix the problem? Brethren, we have to make choices. God's way or our way. Submission to God. Humility before God. Or solving the problem because we can't wait another minute. Impatience is selfishness that takes our eyes off from God. We have to turn back to God, point two, and repent. We have to turn back to God, brethren, and repent of our selfishness, of our impatience. Acts 8:22. Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. It seems so innocent. Impatience. But it's so critical to our spiritual development that we not be that way. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to God. In other words, when we're impatient, we're not with God. We have left God. Through repentance, we return to God. Cut out another page. Okay. And the third part to solve impatience is obeying God by being patient. Isn't there another way? No. It is that difficult. It's not difficult, brethren, though, if we keep our eyes on God. If we stay close through the Word. We run into problems when we become impatient. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'll turn to that one. 2 Chronicles 7. I got time to smile. Oh, I'm so pathetic. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, that's us, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and then it says, turn from their wicked ways, which means repent, then look what happens. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's the formula I just gave you, brethren. It works. Not once in a while, not when God is having a good day. Every single time it works. Because it's God's way. Impatience is our way. And for the final scripture, I hope this works out right. Let's see what it says before I tell you, just in case. Because I'm skipping around a little bit here. Yeah, it'll work. Acts 5:29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Impatience is selfishness that takes our eyes off from God. But brethren, God will always take care of you if you remain patient.